ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts programs. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR, both transmitter 3 and transmitter 4. That's 4.84 megahertz and 5.89 megahertz. And radio station WBCQ, and that's 7.490 megahertz. Both of those shortwave stations have internet streams where you can listen live. And you can go to our website, kingidentity.com, go to the radio page, and there's also a link there. If you would like to participate in tonight's broadcast, you can call the toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. You can also, especially our foreign listeners, dial directly to the number 678-949-5091. I'll give that number later in the broadcast. My guest tonight is a Bible scholar, a longtime believer in the truth of our Israel identity, the publisher of the Septuagint Bible. He's an elder statesman, earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, as we're told of in Jude. And although we both very much believe in Bible study, we will be discussing, among other topics, that there is power of the Word and prayer going beyond just a mere Bible study. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Pastor Frank Crawford.
Greetings tonight as Mike and I join together to manifest the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. I'm delighted to be coming to you tonight already before this broadcast began. I've had requests from our area wanting to know where they can hear it or else get a copy of it later. One thing I would like to drop in your ears, first of all, there's a book been published now by a CIA man who spent 10 years researching the history of the settlement of America. His name is Timothy Ballard, and he has published a book with two words titled. It's called The Covenant, The Covenant by Timothy Ballard. And that book is reaching many people about who America really is. Now, first of all, he said some of the early churches all along the East Coast were called the New Israel Church. Several of those. There are many things in this book, probably 450 pages, that you never heard in public school. And therefore, if I were more able financially, I'd buy a few cases of them to pass around. All right, let me first share a prophetic word that came in our midst, and you can use either the name going back to the Greek from English, or else go to the Hebrew. Jehovah God, first two words. You can say Yahweh God if you want to go to the Hebrew. Jehovah God is our King, King of righteousness. There is a scepter in His right hand, a scepter of rectitude. His kingdom comes in a little flock. chosen vessels for a kingly crown. Jehovah's sons are now enthroned. His kingdom now is come. And we know that it continues to come among his overcoming ones. And I know this comes to me at this moment because of some great battles we're facing. This word comes that will strengthen you. Where Jesus said, if two of you agree as touching anything in the earth, it shall be done of my Father who is in heaven. And I would like for you to know, probably since Timothy Ballard was not a religious man, but a man of God that wanted to know the truth, that's the reason this knowledge came to him. And he was a diligent student for 10 years. I have that book in my possession, The Covenant. Now I'm going to read you some pure word of God in the Septuagint Bible. We started publishing this. It's about 2,300 years old. It was 300 years old in Hebrew when Jesus came. And we have already done 2 printings. I received permission to get it published about 20 years ago. And I would like to read you directly from Isaiah, the 22nd chapter, and the starting at the 17th verse. And I hope you know by now, all of you who listen, that there are many prophetic scriptures in our Bible that apply, have more than one application as far as time or geography is concerned. Now watch this word. The Lord is speaking first person in Isaiah 22:17. Behold, the Lord of hosts is now driving out and will utterly destroy men of rank. And he will take away thy robe and this gorgeous crown of thine and whirl thee into a large, immeasurable country. I had other words to bring you tonight, but right in the middle of a study, 1 hour before the broadcast, he dropped this word into my spirit like a bombshell reaching out for hearers. He will take away thy robe and this gorgeous crown of thine and whirl thee into a large immeasurable country, and there thou shalt die. And he will bring to disgrace thy splendid chariot. It'll come to you while I am reading this as to who this is referring to. And he will make the house of thy chief ruler a laughing stock and a public walkway. And when thou shalt be removed from thine office and station, it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and this crown of thine I will confirm to him, and I will commit to his hands this office of thine. And he shall be as a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to them who dwell in Judah. And I will give him the glory of David, and he shall rule until there is no antagonist remaining. And on his shoulder I will lay the key of the house of David, and he will open, and none shall be able to shut. And he will shut, and none shall be able to open. And I will make him a ruler in a sure place, and he will be a throne of glory for the house of his father. And on him will rely with confidence every honorable man in his father's house, from the least even unto the greatest. On him they shall be dependent in that day. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the man who is now fixed in what he thinks to be a sure place of rulership shall be removed and taken away and shall fall, and the glory, the vain glory which is on him shall be utterly destroyed, for the Lord hath spoken it, saith Yahweh Elohim. Hallelujah.
We have a caller from Rochester, New York. Walder, you're on the air. You have a question for our guest?
Yes, Hall. Yes, sir. I want to ask you a couple questions. Hello, Mike. I think this is Mike, right?
Yes.
I want to ask you a couple questions, if I could. In Acts 8:27 or thereabouts, it's mentioning this eunuch from Ethiopia, mm-hmm. that he gets baptized. Now, I can't understand if this person is not an Israelite, how he would do that, or it was it Philip that would perform that for him. Is this the same yeah. situation as a person from Ethiopia that Moses married? Is it different Ethiopia? Or can you explain a little bit about that, please?
They were Cushites, which were Adamic, but you'll notice he went down to a feast day, and he was reading Hebrew in a Hebrew Bible, and there aren't any blacks within our lifetime or recent centuries that would even qualify for that. Certainly this was an Israelite because only Israelites were allowed at the feast days, and only Israelites would have been reading the Hebrew Bible. I'll let Frank comment.
All right. Also, too, thank you so much, Mike. One more question, you know, please. Yes, sir. In regard to when Moses was called upon to help Israel and confront Pharaoh, I read somewhere yesterday, there's somewhere in the Bible where it mentions it that he had to tell the people of Israel to awaken them to their identity. Do you know where that is in the scripture there?
No, I don't.
Do you remember the exact reference, Mike?
I don't know.
We could look that up very easily. It sounds to me like you are a Bible student searching for all the truth you can find.
Yes, sir. And I just turned it on, and I heard you speaking, but I don't know your name. Could I please have your name? My name is Walt, and I'm from Western New York, outside of Rochester.
My name is Frank. The full name, Edward Franklin Crawford, C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D. I'm a former veteran of World War II. I was injured in that war. We were dropping bombs from Daytona Beach, Florida, in Hell Diver planes and on German U-boats all along the east coast of Florida, and many Americans didn't even know they were that close. And my voice was being mightily trained for something I didn't know about then, apparently for ministry later, because I've been in ministry now 65 years. And so I was communicating with pilots and directing them to the target with depth charge bombs after our radar. Our radar controlled a big area of the east coast of Florida, and we governed several squadrons of planes from other naval air stations. And since then, I became a broadcaster and put some radio stations on the air in different locations. And then finally, when I was about to put a radio station and television at the University of Mississippi at Oxford, the Lord had other plans. A meeting came in the local Baptist church. And on the eighth night, and I understand eight's the number of new beginnings, on the eighth night, I had a dramatic conversion. I was caught away in the spirit, and I was out in space, and there was a lake of fire underneath me, and I was hanging on a big rope, a big manila rope, with two hands, and it was unraveling just above my hands. So like lightning, I knew that everything in me that night had to bend to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings. And that night, he rescued me from broadcasting per se and gave me a call to the ministry that night. And it is amazing what has happened in those years since then. And that was quite a few years ago at Grenada, Mississippi. So now, since then, we have seen something returning where men are baptized with the Holy Spirit and they are becoming Bible scholars. A pastor in Texas called me a few days ago and he said, Frank, I know 200 Baptist preachers lately that have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and they have not become Pentecostals and they are having miracles of healing like all kind of diseases and what have you. Well, yeah, I couldn't doubt one word he was saying because my last long trip that I went into Kentucky, I'd been praying I wanted an open door in Kentucky. And so I'd been to Kentucky and the day I was leaving my home in Mississippi, a favorite friend of mine, pastoring in Tulsa, Oklahoma for years, they were having his memorial service that day, and I hated to miss. But Father spoke to me and said, you have to be in Union, Kentucky this weekend. That is my ultimate obedience for you. So away I go in the car, 400 miles the first day, and Chattanooga that night, next day in Knoxville, another minister joined me. We continued to Union, Kentucky, right near that city there that's in, what's the name of it, in Ohio, I believe. And anyway, we arrived for the weekend. And on Sunday morning, the service started at 1 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And about 12:30 was still going. The church has three pastors and another pastor with me. That made five of us. Then there were two pastors visiting the church and that made seven of us. At 12:30, no one had left for lunch. And so in that moment, I said to the congregation, aren't you folks going to eat lunch today? Not a soul had left the meeting. A man's voice thundered and said, America is in great peril, and we are going to stay here today till you tell us what our God is going to do about it. All right, what's the confirmation of truth? A little bit later, the meeting went on. Not a soul departed for the lunch meal on Sunday, and I had noticed a little girl at 12 or 14 away from the congregation, like she was afraid of people. All of a sudden, there toward the end of the meeting, watch how long it lasted. I never had another meeting like that in 65 years. At the end of the meeting was 3 p.m. The meeting had lasted 4 hours, and not a soul had departed for the lunch meal. And when it ended, I said to the senior pastor, Don, I said, Don, is that little girl sitting off to herself? Does she have some kind of affliction? He said, Frank, that is our daughter. And she is epileptic and 14 years old. And before I could say another word, the thundering Spirit of God overrode my voice, what I was about to say. Here's what he said to Don. She won't be epileptic after today. And that was a word of our God. And the moment I said it, I said to the pastor and his wife, lay your hands on your daughter. I said to the brother with me, let's lay our hands, four of us, on the little girl named Elizabeth. Call her Lily for short, and she's a lily indeed. And so we prayed for her. God instantly healed her. And this is the first time I clearly saw a manifestation of corporate faith. In the moment God healed her, every soul in that large audience knew that she was well. They had watched her grow up and have these spasms for 14 years. And she was so gloriously healed. A few days ago, I called the senior pastor, Brother Don, and I said, my daughter, who is a director of nurses in a hospital here, she wants a picture of that little girl. We're going to enlarge it and put it on my daughter's desk in the hospital. And she said, I want to place it 8x10. It shows her rubbing the nose of her little horse they bought her after God had healed her. And so then, as they sent us a little picture and I've enlarged it, and probably the next 2 days it will be placed on my daughter's desk in the hospital in this county, and she will put this caption above it: this miracle comes from absolute faith. And so what God is doing in different directions is unbelievable to the carnal mind. He said these gifts and these miracles would follow those that believe and preach His word. He said also, Paul wrote to a church and said, God hath not given us the stupidity of our faith. He has given us faith to be bold as a lion. And in these last few years, I have seen unbelievable miracles. I've seen folks that had incurable diseases. I've seen the Lord heal them. My first miracle with death was when I first left my pastorate in probably Greater Grenada, Mississippi, to go on a mission trip to Arkansas. And there in Arkansas, in the southeastern Boot Hill, I was there ministering 8 days. Then, on the Monday following the 8th day, several churches were having a fellowship gathering. And they asked me to stay over another day and meet with them. And so I did. And when we had that meeting, all the pastors placed themselves up in the choir loft. And the meeting began in the singing. All right, they told us that shortly an ambulance would arrive from the local hospital, having a lady that's on life support, and she will be dying any moment. And she has requested that she die in her church building. And so we learned later, just before the ambulance arrived at church, they withdrew the life support, and she died, and they rolled that roller bed out at the side door of the church, and they rolled her in down in front of our feet. And as they were singing more songs and hymns, I saw a vision about 10, 12 feet below me. I saw Jesus walk up to her head and take her by the hand and raise her up. And when he did, I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? He said, because I'm going to walk to this lady in your body. I got up and obeyed and walked to her and took her by the hand. And up she came and broke running into the audience. And we found out why later. Probably her son was 40 years old. She threw her arms around him. And we find out he had said before she died, He had said, if God will heal my mother, I will give him the rest of my life. Then we understood why she ran and grabbed her son. I have a book just came my way recently by a cardiologist. Has a two-word title. It's entitled Raising the Dead. And it's a cardiologist in West Palm Beach, Florida, where I've ministered several times. And he says in the book, he had a patient that died on him, heart trouble. And he said, I used the machine for 40 minutes and tried to bring him back. And I gave up, said I stood up to walk away. Said a voice spoke to me and said, go back and shake him one more time. And he said, I did. And when I did, he returned to life. And this man, I said, I've got ministers, friends in that area, several cities and towns. And I said, I'm going to call my friend Jim and tell him about this book. I called Jim and he said, Frank, as you gave me this man's name, I will have to tell you, he is my personal cardiologist. How small is this world? So then, we have seen many miracles since then. We later lived in Orlando, Florida for 3 years. And we didn't go there to go to Disney World. We went there in obedience after 10 years in Jackson, Mississippi. And so, a grandfather in North Florida drove down one Sunday, a businessman, to stay one Saturday, I believe, to spend the day and have some fellowship. He brought his little 9-year-old girl, and our middle daughter was 9 years old. The two of them jumped on two bikes, and around the lake they went. About 10 minutes later, or 12, my daughter, Wanda, rushed into the yard and skidded the bike and jumped off and said, come quickly. A drunk driver has run over Teresa. Smitty and I jumped in his car. I was in the back seat and away we went. Taught in the Navy how to handle head injuries. And so I held her in the back seat. Smitty drove about 95 miles an hour to the nearest hospital down the interstate. And they had a bed waiting. My wife had called them when we arrived. But 3 minutes before arriving, this little Teresa died in my arms. So then they rolled her in, checked all the vitals, and pronounced her dead on arrival. The doctor went across the hall, got on knees in the prayer room. Her granddaddy and I went with our knees down on the marble floor. And we all started praying. 3 or 4 others arrived to join us. And 20 minutes later, all of a sudden the doctor returns and he pulls the car keys out of his pocket, walks up to her feet and raises his seat and strokes the sole of her right foot and both legs jumped up. God is a redeemer. Whatever men have tried to steal from his truth, it's going to slap them in the face as he buys back that glorious truth that is his. Glory be to our God who liveth and abideth forever. We are seeing miracles every direction. And now, so often, this lady, we watched her, she grew up. The doctor then, he just couldn't believe what he was seeing. He said, I've just given you the good news. She's alive, but I've got to give you the bad. All right, as we said to him, give it to us. He said, she'll be in a wheelchair the rest of her life. And, before that, he said, she'll be a vegetable. And I said to him, no, doctor, God doesn't do halfway projects. And he said, well, I'm going to go with a little compromise. She'll be in a wheelchair the rest of her life. We told him again, no, doc, she will not be in a wheelchair. God doesn't do it halfway. And the Lord totally healed her. She went home to North Florida in 4 days, grew up, married, and got lovely little group of children. I tell you, we better believe what's written on the pages of this book. My, my, my. Our Congress, about a year or two ago, had some hellish, hell-born liberal bill they wanted to pass, and they had 14 marginal votes to pass it. I went on a fast and prayer in the woods out on my farm from town, and stayed many times. I've gone 40 days on a fast, and I went to the woods and began to pray, and the Lord, the next news I heard on TV, it was announced that the bill that was ultra-liberal, it was defeated by 14 votes, exactly the number they thought they had to pass it. So then, this prophetic poem I read at the beginning of this fellowship we're now having, if God's word is really true, then we need to believe it and stop stuttering and having a stuttering faith. This is the day of our God. And what I just read from Isaiah 22, this is talking about whoever is in leadership, he's going to bring the big guys down. It's already started. On another occasion, a few years ago, when President John F. Kennedy was president, I was in a meeting in Dallas, Texas. The pastor had come all the way from a Baptist church in Australia, and his little group developed there. And so while we were worshiping one day, all of a sudden, in a morning meeting, all of a sudden, a man broke loose in a prophetic word, and he said these words. He said, the ruler of this nation will be destroyed in the streets of Dallas within 6 weeks. And that's exactly how long it took that John F. Kennedy was brought down in the streets of Dallas. Later on, a man came to our city, Jackson, Mississippi, and he ministered on the battle between David and Goliath. And all of a sudden, he interrupted his own message, and Robert Kennedy was campaigning for to be the nominee of the Democratic Party and be the president. And all of a sudden, a spirit of prophecy fell upon this man ministering at our place. His name was Crawford also, grew up in the Carolinas. And all of a sudden, we both had a prophetic word that Robert Kennedy would die in the streets of California within hours. 4 hours later, he was dead. We better wake up. If God's kingship is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's dwelling in us, he has not given us a trembling, sorry, weak, crumbling faith. He has given us a bold faith. And by the kingship of the King of Kings, these corrupt rulers that are trying to destroy America will bite the dust. And law God had had enough. It looked like from the two Kennedys. Everybody said they both shared the same harlot. And so we're in a day of war, and our God is able to do exceeding things, more than we even ask for. I would like to, if I can check the time here. How's the time running, Mike?
Oh, we've got about 23 more minutes. 23 I'd like to comment minutes. Here that what you're saying goes right along with what Christ said in John 14, where he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do.
Amen. Amen. That's a confirmation of so many portions of the word. All right, watch this. I was in Waynesville, North Carolina, a few years ago, another brother with me. We had a patriotic meeting in the courthouse, and the Lord prayer and so forth was still on the walls. And so after that meeting, next day, Brother Don and I headed through the gorge toward Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so we had walked a canyon the next day apiece, and three ladies prepared a lovely lunch for us because we had a late breakfast and they knew we'd be eating later in the day. So on our trip through the gorge, Brother Don and I were watching for a good place to stop about 2 o'clock or later for our lunch. And we all of a sudden saw a lovely river channel that had no water in it. We're driving right side of it. And it turned out to be, as we later checked, 400 feet wide. I said, Don, which was crazy to say, to go out in a river channel, but God wants you to act a little crazy, he can do it. I said, Don, let's go out in this river. It's got a rock garden out there, and beautiful place, and eat our lunch. And that suited Don. And so out in the river channel, it was no water to be seen. We started to find a flat rock like a coffee table, started unloading our lunch out of the ice chest, and I heard a little splash to my left upstream. I looked to the left, and a little bit of water splashed up on a rock about the size of a football. And I screamed a very shortcoming word to Don. I said, Don, the river's rising. And we tore out running. I made two steps, and the cascading waves came on us. We saw a wall of water about 12 feet deep from bank to bank, and we were cascading and bouncing on those big waves down the river, and it sucked me. The river is Ocoee River. Sucked me into a whirlpool. I grew up around one in Pearl River. And it sucked me in it upside down, pumping me vertically and spinning me in the whirlpool. The water was sort of yellow, muddy water. And then in a little bit, I couldn't do anything. I tried swimming, tried swapping ends and so forth. And then the water began to turn from yellow to black. I couldn't open my mouth in that deep water. I prayed in my mind this prayer. I said, Lord, I'm a dead man if you don't rescue me. The water was turning black, and I knew that meant I was drowning. At that moment, within 1 second, my spirit was separated apparently from the body, and my spirit was in heaven. Whether you call it a state of being or whether you call it some place yonder and beyond, and there, it's words cannot explain. And I could hear the Father's voice coming from every direction, like the whole atmosphere and sky was saturated with it. Well, after a while, it lasted one hour I was in that state. And then, all of a sudden, my spirit returns to my body. And before I got to it, I saw a visitor there standing waiting for me, an angel that appeared to be 12 feet tall if he was standing on the water. Well, when I arrived and stood in my body, he was on my right side. He reached down with his right hand to my navel and the left hand to the small of my back, gently turned me right side up and turned me loose. And the water was so rough, I was cascading in the water, and all of a sudden, I said, Lord, I can't get a foot closer to the bank. It's too rough. About the time I said that, the angel's hand came against my feet and shot me about 40 feet into the tree limbs reaching down in the water. So I was safe. Then I looked up river, cross river for Don. He missed the whirlpool. and I looked downriver and saw Don land in the trees about 50 yards below me. So you talk about a miracle right there. See, God didn't want me just to believe it for others. He wanted me to know that we're in His hands. And I tell you, I hope we can wake up more every day and every hour to angels that are surrounding us, whether we are asleep or awake. Now, since Timothy Ballard wrote this wonderful book, The Covenant, and tells so many things that you can't learn in public school, and an African man just 1 week ago, as I sat down beside him in a store while my wife and my daughter were shopping, he was a retired school teacher, and he ups and tells me out of the blue. He said, Frank, he said, I have been able to teach young men many, many things that they never could learn in school. He was confirming how there's so much knowledge that can be ours apart from public education. And so, what a wonderful time we are experiencing in these miracles. And I tell you, it may, I hope soon, the truth will come to light about the unknown tongues. I have visitations at times, caught away in the Spirit, and He took me on one occasion not too long ago about the so-called unknown tongue. I can't find the word unknown in my Greek Bible or Hebrew. And God had promised Israel, if you break covenant with me and depart from my word, I will scatter you among all nations of the earth. And all of a sudden, I'm flashing back to that prophecy, and the Lord said, this other language they speak, when the Spirit of God comes upon them, it's 500 to 700 years after the scattering took place, and He said, it's the language that they learned in the enemy nations where God scattered them. It might be Swedish, it might be languages we've never heard yet, but He told me exactly what it is. Two men was in a big business gathering in New Orleans from Sweden, and they, good friend of mine, was preaching there to a big crowd, William Branham. And in the meeting, somebody broke loose and spoke a word in another language. Well, nobody interpreted it. After the meeting closed, two men from Sweden, it turned out, walked up to Brother Branham, and they told him, said that message you had in another language, that was perfect Swedish language. We understood every word of it. So I'll tell you, we have got more miracles yet to learn. The books can't be written enough. But let's run short on time. I'd like to turn, and you remember, God divorced Israel because of their departure from Him. But I'll tell you one thing, it was not a permanent divorce. Listen to this in Hosea. And in that day, I will make a covenant for them. Who are the them? That's the Israelites with the wild beast of the field and the birds of the air and the reptiles of the land of the earth and bow and sword and battle. I will crush out of the land. And I will settle thee securely and betroth thee to myself. What a word. What a word. Who ever heard of somebody else doing your betrothal to a mate? He said, I will betroth thee to myself forever, forever, forever. I will indeed betroth thee to myself, by tender mercies, and I will betroth thee to myself by fidelity or faithfulness. Three different categories the betrothal takes place. And thou shalt acknowledge the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will hearken to the heaven, and it shall hearken to the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hearken to Jezreel, and I will plant her for myself in the land, and love her who was not beloved. And to them who were not my people, I will say, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou the Lord art our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So, has the day of the Lord dawned? The 8th chapter of Romans. First, let me go back to 17th chapter of John. In John, the 17th chapter, Jesus prayed a simple few-word prayer 5 times in that one chapter. Here's what he prayed. He often said, the Father and I are one. Yes, they are. Then he said, Father, make them. That's the covenant people, sons and daughters of God. Make them one to the same degree that you and I are one. Hallelujah. And then he prays it again, second time. In that chapter, prays it again, third time, fourth time, fifth time. And I hope we know for certain that our God will answer the prayers of his firstborn son. And I'll be honest with you. When I have needed a super miracle, and I had one person, whether my wife or a saint, it's male or female, to agree with you, and you become like one spirit and pray for a big miracle, I've seen it happen before you could finish the prayer. Hallelujah. What is this day? The day of the Lord has dawned. My, my, my. Let us not be ashamed. Let us not stutter. Let us not tremble. Let us believe what he said, and Mike quoted a few minutes ago, that you will not only do the things that I've done, greater things than these shall you do. My, my, my. I mentioned in these few minutes together, 2 people that I was a witness raised from the dead, and maybe 3, including myself, and a few places I have told, from Pennsylvania to Florida, Everglades, in many states where I've been graced to minister. I've shared this miracle. One place in Pennsylvania, they had a few of us after the morning service for a little meal in the home. And I was still standing. A little 8-year-old boy, I had shared this miracle with him, walks up in front of me, and he's just staring at me. I asked him if I could do something for him. He said, Are you a preacher? And I said, Yes, I am. And he just kept staring and didn't say any more. I said, do you want to be a preacher? He said, I sure do. And then I said, well, when I pray, I'm going to tell the Lord to call you. And after I had time to think about it, he might have been trying to get in on these miracles that he thought only happened to preachers. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Now, I want to, before the time runs out, I want to share, and I shared it with a Presbyterian from Mississippi yesterday. I want to share this miracle pertaining to forgiveness. I am so sad and sorry that unforgiveness has crept into churches like a rattlesnake reaching for his prey. And I want to tell you what came against me in South Carolina. I've been to meetings, 200 people or more gathering in motels across the country. They want to find out how we are serving one God, even though in America the latest poll says we have 30,000 denominations. And so it has been researched and researched. And there are meetings trying to prove, you know, one God and one Redeemer. So then, there that day, I was thinking about this horrible thing that crept in and divided the sheep. And so I was wondering what God can do. I'd go to one of those meetings, be one of five or six speakers or more. And on one occasion, I was a little under the weather, and I asked a preacher in South Carolina, Greenville, if he would take my place. And he did, and he often came to my rescue if I was under the weather. Later, I'm passing through his city. I'm spending the night with him in his home. And he that night, for some strange reason, the only reason I can figure, God wanted to teach me something in him too. He suddenly took the scripture. He had heard me minister the truth of God's everlasting covenant people, Israel. And I want to declare that words Israel and Jew are not synonyms. And then, as I was in his home that night, he suddenly took the scriptures and tore into his wife, just beating her with the scripture. Then he jumped on me with the scripture. He had never heard anybody preach that truth about who Israel is. And then, after he did, it was strong enough to put me out in the trees under a full moon, weeping because of his darkness. And so out under the trees, I prayed. I said, Father, what shall I do in light of what Rudy has just done? I said, I have no idea. He said, wait 30 days. And write him a letter of forgiveness, and you will not believe what will happen to him. 30 days went by in the letter, 2 pages. Went to him using several scriptures to manifest forgiveness. Then, by the time that happens, I'm in a hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with a 3/4-inch kidney stone. And they wrestled me through a jacuzzi all night. The pain was so great. And pain medicine wouldn't do much good. Next morning, I'm lying there pretty weak. And all of a sudden, I learned the hospital was receiving calls but couldn't get them into the rooms. So I felt Rudy was calling me. Picked up the phone and called him, and he never even said hello. He started singing a brand new song to me, 5 verses in poetic rhyme, starting out with my name in it. Starting out, oh my darling Frank, my son. And he said, Frank, when he got through singing it to me, he said, after you manifested that forgiveness to me when I was wrong, said Jesus appeared to me and sung this song to me, and I've written every word of it down. And he said, this is for Frank, and you call him and sing it to him. And there it was. Well, that wasn't the whole story. It strengthened me so, I jumped out of bed, got dressed, headed out the front door of the hospital, a 1/2 mile downhill to the highway, go run with all my might. By the time I got to the front door, the big kidney stone vanished and didn't even drop in the floor. You see what healing power can do going from one member of this body to another. Hallelujah to the Lamb. This is the day of the Lord. Hallelujah.
We're there talking so here about that entering the kingdom. So many people are still playing church in this world system. They need to put on the mind of Christ, be one with him, as you said earlier, and be part of the kingdom that we're entering into.
Yes.
We're at the end of the broadcast, and I'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight. We have about 1 minute. Would you like to follow up on any of the thoughts that you brought to us tonight?
Well, I would like to say to you, Mike, and the brother that called in, I would like to say that in the making of us one, and to the same degree that our Father and has become one with the Son, Jesus, I want to say something great is involved in this message, not because of who speaks it, but because there's a stirring in our midst right now, and we're going to see something overturn until the King of Glory comes. Hallelujah. And I want, people are asking me already how to get in touch with you, Mike, and get a copy of this, and I'll be glad to get them a copy.
Okay, our address will be given here in just a minute. And also, we do carry the Septuagint Bible that you published.
Amen.
So I'd like to thank you again. May Yahweh bless you and all of our audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And God bless our audience.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.